Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Tuesday, April 10th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. The playoff matchups are starting to come into shape, and it looks like Golden State could be playing Oklahoma City, though things could change based on play tonight and tomorrow. Oklahoma City is winners of its last two and has fallen to seventh despite that. San Antonio also won its last two. New Orleans has won four in a row, and Utah, in the fourth spot, has won five in a row. Denver, coming on strong, winning six in a row, including a game last night over the Clippers, where Nikola Jokic had a triple-double. But they still sit in ninth. Minnesota is tied with Denver at 46-35. New Orleans, San Antonio, and Oklahoma City are all tied in the 5, 6, 7 spots. Utah is holding down fourth at 47-33. Portland at 48-33 could fall. They've lost their last four. And then, of course, the top two are Houston and Golden State. Nobody's going to touch them. We've got a good show for you today. We're going to take a look at the Jazz matchup tonight, 6 p.m. in Utah. The second segment is all about Nick Young and what he brought or didn't bring to the Warriors this season. And in the third segment, we're going to continue our synopsis of the Warriors season. We're going to talk about the defense, we're going to talk about superstar play, and we're going to talk about coaching. Thanks for listening to this podcast. You can get this podcast at Spotify, iOS, iTunes, and Google Play, as well as LockedOnWarriors.com and LockedOnSports.com. Make sure you bookmark those pages. We're also available on Facebook at Locked On Dubs and Locked On NBA Net. And speaking of Locked On Dubs, you can tweet me there or at Koji Tare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E. I tweet from both accounts. You can get in touch with me via email at alikocarter11@gmail.com. If you just want to chop it up about hoops, you have comments about the show, anything at all, I always answer. You can also find my work at Forbes.com. I've also been featured at BleacherReport.com. At Forbes, I write at the intersection of sports, business, and community impacts from my base in the San Francisco Bay Area. That means I write a lot about the Warriors. I'll keep you posted with all of the goodness coming out of Forbes and the Sports Money blog. All right, and back to the standings we go. There are some very important games tonight. The Wizards are trying to top the Boston Celtics so that they can move up and avoid Toronto in the first round of the playoffs. Philly needs to beat the Atlanta Hawks to solidify its position in the third seed. Cleveland has fallen to fourth. Obviously, Utah is trying to win tonight against the Golden State Warriors and solidify their position. And the Rockets have a game against the Los Angeles Lakers, so definitely worth a watch. Just to see how the Rockets are playing and to see if the Lakers can take one off of them. So really quick, before we get to the Jazz, we'll start with the East. It would be Toronto versus Washington in the first round. Boston, Miami, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, which, wow, would be so fun, and Cleveland, Indiana. In the Western Conference, it would be Houston, Minnesota, another fun one. Golden State, Oklahoma City, wow, that would be a barn burner. Portland, San Antonio. Fun, fun, fun. And Utah, New Orleans, also a good matchup. The playoffs this year are just going to be so, so, so exciting. And I can't wait until they start on Saturday. But we have one more game for the Warriors. And we're going to talk about that right now. The Utah Jazz trying to solidify their position in the fourth spot. The Jazz are one of those teams that the Warriors have lost to twice this season, a team that I missed yesterday when I was listing all of the teams that the Warriors have lost to more than once. Definitely a situation that we haven't been used to over the last four seasons, but the Jazz have played the Warriors well and should continue to do so tonight. They've won their last four, playing Minnesota. Good game. They whooped Minnesota 121-97 on April 1st. That's Easter and April Fool's Day. Los Angeles and Los Angeles and Los Angeles. The Lakers, Clippers, and Lakers all lost to the Utah Jazz on the 3rd, the 5th, and the 8th, respectively. And these were all strong wins. 117-110 over the Lakers, 117-95 over the Clippers, just an absolute whooping, and 112-97 over the Lakers. They're playing extremely well. Actually, sorry, 5 games in a row because they beat the Memphis Grizzlies by 10 back on March 30th. So they're playing extremely well. They're playing within themselves, and we're going to take a look at a few of those box scores over the last few games just to take a look at who's doing the biggest damage. Donovan Mitchell, as a rookie, getting played 38 minutes a game by Quinn Snyder. Talk about having faith in your first-year player. And in the last game against the Lakers, he shot 3 of 7 from 3 and 9 of 18 from the field. He had 28 points. Joe Ingles added 22. Jay Crowder, 18. Royce O'Neal coming out of nowhere with 15 points. And Derek Favors with 10. Rudy Gobert did not have a monster game. Only 6 rebounds and 3 turnovers. But Derek Favors picked up the slack with 13 rebounds. So this team has a lot of weapons. Other guys getting minutes. Dante Exum. Jonas Jerebko. Obviously Ricky Rubio. He only played 18 minutes in the last game, but he was a plus 16. Derek Favors was a plus 30. And Royce O'Neal was a plus 10. So we're getting a ton of good play from up and down the roster. And George Niang, Alec Burks, and Raul Neto didn't even play. And those are good players, especially Alec Burks. A couple of injuries for the Utah Jazz. Raul Neto will not play tonight. He's been diagnosed with a fractured left wrist, aiming to come back before the playoffs start. And Thabo Sefolosha had season-ending surgery on his MCL. He's also been suspended for the first 5 games of the 2018-2019 season for a violation of the NBA's anti-drug policy. Interesting. I didn't actually know that. I'm going to have to look more into that. But the 1-2 punch of Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert is healthy, and they're going to have their hands full, they being the Warriors. I imagine that Steve Kerr will start JaVale McGee against Rudy Gobert, match size with size. And then, of course, Klay Thompson is going to be guarding Donovan Mitchell. It's going to be up to Kevin Durant to keep Joe Ingles, one of the best three-point shooters in the league, off the line. And that's something that he didn't do very well in the last game. And then, of course, Ricky Rubio is extremely crafty, and Quinn Cook is going to have a lot. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of switching. And then, of course, Draymond is going to have to keep Derek Favors off the offensive boards. This Jazz team is a very good team. They have a plus 4 point differential. They play at one of the slowest paces in the league, and the Warriors can't allow them to dictate that pace. The Warriors have to run. They can't turn the ball over, and they have to. Another previous game, the Clippers, right before that Laker game, a sandwich in between 2 games against the Lakers, the Jazz shot 53%, shot 37% from 3, had 27 assists, 8 blocks, 7 steals, and only 9 turnovers. It was a pristine game from the Utah Jazz. A very dangerous team peaking at the right time. And honestly, the Warriors are not peaking. The Warriors haven't peaked yet. A lot of these teams struggling to make it in the playoffs have peaked. And I would argue that the Houston Rockets peaked a little while ago, sometime in March, which the Warriors did 2 years ago when they won 73 games and they didn't have the energy to just finish it out. And they didn't have the mental fortitude to finish it out. They were just drained mentally and potentially physically that season and couldn't get that 7th game, you know, and couldn't get the championship. And I think that there is a consideration here to think about. The Houston Rockets have been playing so well. They have been playing as good as they can possibly play for most of the season. But are they going to be able to peak in May? Are they going to be able to peak during the Western Conference Finals? I have faith that the Warriors are, especially with Stephen Curry returning before then. And the idea that the Warriors haven't played their best basketball yet is real, and they know it. And I think that there is a chance that their basketball, their best basketball is yet to come. And I think the Houston Rockets have already played their best basketball. But the Jazz are playing their best basketball right now. And the Warriors can play spoiler, or they can act like this game doesn't matter, which it doesn't. But I think that this being the last game of the season for the Warriors, it would be nice to end on a win. It'd be nice to end on a well-played game, whether or not they win, to have some good things to take away before the playoffs start on Saturday. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Stay tuned for a segment all about Swaggy P. And we're back. Nick Young is my Warrior of the Week this year. It's not an award. Just want to be very clear. Warrior of the Week is not an award. It's just focusing on a specific player. And what I want to do before the playoffs start is do a segment on every player that wore a Warriors uniform this year and just kind of break down what they brought to the table. I might not make it to everyone. Obviously, a guy like Damon Jones is not going to be... Damian Jones, excuse me, is he might not make it. You know, there's just... he didn't play a lot of minutes, and there's just a lot to go over before the playoffs start. And I'm also going to be doing a joint podcast with whoever the host of the seventh seed is before the start of the playoffs. Could be the Thunder, could be anybody. And I hope it's the Thunder, because that's going to be the best first round series ever. Kevin Durant going back to Oklahoma City, getting booed. Russell Westbrook, reigning MVP, coming into the house that Stephen Curry built. And as I've said in the past, the Oklahoma City Thunder are gamblers. They gamble on defense. They gamble with one-on-one shots, and they take their best shot. And I think that this is a team, whoever they face in the first round, they could take four games off of that team. They could take four games off the Warriors. I truly believe that. Do I think it's going to happen? Not necessarily. Without Stephen Curry, it's going to be very difficult to keep this series short. I'm thinking six games at least, if the Warriors do play the Thunder in the first round. But let's talk about Nick Young. He's played in 79 games this season. Started 8, but he's only averaging 17 minutes a game. He's shooting 41% from the field and 38% from 3. But he is shooting 85% from the line, and you can't really count on him to do much more. 1.6 total rebounds, 0.4 assists, 0.5 steals, and a half a turnover to boot. How does this compare to his previous seasons? Well, the previous season in Los Angeles, he played and started in 60 games. He still only shot 43% from the field, but he shot 40% from three. He averaged more rebounds. He was playing more minutes, honestly, 25.9 minutes a game. He, in Los Angeles, played 28 minutes a game in 2013-2014. That was his high watermark for LA. He played in Toronto, played for the Clippers, and he played for the Washington Wizards early in his career, playing 31.8 minutes a game back in 2010. 2011. His career three-point percentage is 376, and he shot over 40% three separate years, including last year with the Lakers. But his three-point shooting has gone down significantly over the course of this year, falling to 377, which is not bad. He's still a shooter. He's still going to be out there, and the only thing that we're going to want from him is shooting, because he doesn't really provide anything else. And that's the thing. When the Warriors signed Nick Young, what exactly were they expecting him to bring besides shooting? The Warriors don't have players that only bring one thing and only bring offense. So it was an interesting decision for Bob Myers and the Brain Trust to bring in Nick Young. They knew their bench needed more shooting, but so many times he didn't provide that, and then just didn't provide anything else. He doesn't fill up the stat sheet. He is iffy defensively, especially on the ball, he gets beat. He'll get beat. And then off the ball, his rotations were not always crisp. So we've got some serious thinking and analysis to do about Nick Young and his role in the playoffs. How many minutes is he going to get per game? Are there matchups that would benefit from having Nick Young on the floor? You know, and we'll see in the first round. Once the first round matchups are set, then we'll be able to do a better, to have a better understanding of how Nick Young fits in to, you know, everything that the Warriors are trying to do in getting back to the finals. But 79 games is nothing to sniff at. Nick Young hasn't dealt with injuries this year, which is very good. He's been reliable. You know, he's always ready to go out there and chuck. And that is something that the Warriors definitely need. But with Quinn Cook making so many three-pointers now and just not being afraid to shoot them in Caspi's place, you know, how important is Nick Young now? It's still important for the Warriors to have multiple options out there who can make three-pointers. The issue is, what else will Nick Young bring? And will his defensive liabilities be such that Steve Kerr can't play him? I don't know. It'll be interesting. I wouldn't call Nick Young a consummate veteran, but he's gone to the playoffs before. He's never been deep in the playoffs. But he doesn't seem like someone who deals with pressure poorly. And that's one thing I'll give him credit for. And there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to make shots, to be a shot maker. He's not getting a lot of minutes, but per 36 minutes, he is scoring 15.1 points per game, which is pretty good, but doesn't give you a complete picture of what he brings to the table in those 17 minutes that he's playing. And per 36 numbers always have a tendency to make players who play like 8 or 9 or 10 or 17 minutes a game look better than they are, and sometimes they can be misleading. Obviously, Nick Young is a volume scorer, and that means that over the course of 36 minutes, you might even see his numbers go down, because people who shoot with volume without efficiency don't tend to do well in big minutes. Nick Young started off the season incendiary, pouring in 23 points, I believe, against the Houston Rockets in the season opener, a game that the Warriors lost, but has since been mostly mediocre on a team that prides itself on being excellent in every aspect of the game. And the Warriors haven't been excellent in every aspect of the game this year. And Nick Young is a microcosm of that. And we'll get into the Warriors and the ways in which they haven't been excellent in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Greetings, Hoopsheads. It's that time talking about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. If your company is looking for a connected audience in the 18 to 49 demographic, look no further than Locked On Warriors and the Locked On Podcast Network. Podcasts are where smart advertisers are going to get their products to the people, and Locked On Warriors is no different. Definitely send me an email if you have any interest whatsoever, alicocarter11@gmail.com, and I'll give you all the details. And we're back, and we're continuing our synopsis of the Warriors' 2017-2018 season, and we're going to start with defense. Draymond Green has been the Warriors' heartbeat and most important defensive player for the last 5 years, and he just wasn't the same this year. The intensity wasn't the same. If you look at the stats, his contests at the rim were not as effective as in years past. And on the offensive end, you know, I mean, he was so important with 7.3 assists a game to go along with his 11 points, but he only shot 30% from the field and 30% from the three-point line and 45% from the field. We want our bigger guys to have closer to a 50%, be more efficient, and he has done and been more efficient in the past than he was this year. Only 7.7 rebounds as well. But, you know, 11-7-7 is really not bad, especially because his assist-to-turnover ratio is greater than 2. He also had nearly 3 stocks a game, 1.4 steals, and 1.3 blocks. But let's look at his advanced numbers. His net rating of 9.6, he used to lead the team in net rating, But now, he's not even in the top five. Stephen Curry leading the team with a net rating of 14.7, followed by Zaza, Jordan Bell, Damian Jones, who, you know, don't play the same minutes. And then Klay, Andre, and then Kevon Looney. And Kevin Durant comes in at 8th, while Draymond Green is 9th, 9.7 and 9.6, respectively, for their net rating. Stephen Curry, 14.7. God, do we miss Stephen Curry. I mean, he's the team's most important player. It's not even close. And Kevin Durant might be the team's best player, but that doesn't matter. I mean, it matters. But when you score 40 and 10 and you still lose, you know that you're missing Stephen Curry. I think Steph took a step forward this year, played a better season overall despite the injuries than he did last year. Getting used to playing with Kevin Durant, playing in the first season, it was a little difficult and they went back and forth, but now they have a better jive. They play better together. They find each other for open shots. The Curry-Durant screen and roll is one of the most dangerous plays in the league right now. Klay's efficiency is up, but his numbers are down across the board. And, of course, we already talked about Draymond. I did want to get to coaching, but this game is coming sooner than I would like. It's about 2 o'clock here on the West Coast. So it's time to say goodbye. Enjoy the last game of the season against the Utah Jazz. Very excited to see who the Warriors end up playing in the first round and to see if they can really pull it together in this last game and in the first round of the playoffs. I'll catch you tomorrow. We will be recapping the game against the Jazz and continuing our synopsis of the Warriors season, including beginning individual breakdowns. We'll probably start with Steph. Seems like it would make sense to start with Steph. So, first segment, Utah recap. Second segment, how's Steph doing? And third segment, continuing the synopsis of the Warriors season. I'll catch you tomorrow. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.